And welcome to Stop the Presses. Yes, it's live today. Happy Good Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Or as a comical musician friend of mine used to say, good ladies, evening and gentlemen. Yes, it's 19 April, Patriots Day. Of course, it was on this day that the Waco tragedy happened. We'll give a brief nod to that. Today, I want callers, if that be thy will. And of course, the number is 800-313-9443. The reason is because yours truly has been asked by Snowshoe Films to star, dare I use that word as a verb, to star in a documentary about the border near which I live, the South Texas border, the Rio Grande Valley sector. And the reason is because Snowshoe Films out of New York State wants to document the border crisis. And so calls today would be most helpful in getting all views, pro and con, anywhere in between, on whether Trump is really doing the right thing. Is he just making statements? Is he living up to some of his promises? Is he living up to all his promises? Is he living up to none of them? Whatever the case might be, sometimes these things are a tough read. But it's really important to me to gather all the views that I can today before I assist Snowshoe Films this next week with making this border documentary. We're going to be going down to the border, I understand. Some of this is tentative. It's not all cemented in stone. But we're going to go down to the border and tap our ink pens on what fencing there is here in the Rio Grande Valley sector, Hidalgo, Cameron counties, Starr County, and really dig into this and try and fill in some of the gaps. Again, the number 800-313-9443. At any rate, the McAllen Monitor, McAllen being the most densely populated city in the Rio Grande Valley sector, Brownsville runs a close second. And of course, those are near ports of entry. Brownsville is the Matamoros port. Then as you head west, there's the Progreso, Las Flores port. Then from there, there's the Far Reynosa port. So I believe there's one more. There's something like 15 ports of entry along the whole southern border. I'll double check that number. But there's three main ones near where I reside part of the year here in South Texas. And the main newspaper in McAllen is the infamous Monitor, the Monitor. Now, Carlos Rodriguez is the editorial page editor. And I decided finally that I just couldn't take it anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Day after day, week after week, the Monitor peddles the most pernicious so-called news about the border. And what we're looking at here is a pure appeal to emotion, very little in the way of any consistent substantive facts that are pertinent and actually help paint a clear picture so solutions can be found. And just an ongoing implication that anyone who's of Latino / Mexican extraction who believes in defending the border and a secure border is a non-person because you're supposed to be the stereotype Mexican, quote unquote, you're all supposed to believe in the same thing, and that's virtually open borders, all for one, one for all, let's storm the U.S. And there are a number of Latino and Mexican heritage conservatives down here in the Rio Grande Valley that the Monitor barely acknowledges their existence, and yet they were out in droves, easily matching the number of anti-Trump people back on January 10th when Trump visited the Rio Grande Valley, landing at Miller Airport in McAllen. I was there, and I covered it. I met Geraldo Rivera there. I spoke to a lot of people on the street, but the Monitor at the time was very reticent in fully revealing the fact that people of Mexican and Central American extraction who have long been American citizens, even if their parents came from somewhere else, do believe in border security, do believe in border defense, and don't fit the stereotype. But that's only the tip of the proverbial iceberg. I have here a letter that I sent to Carlos Rodriguez, the Monitor opinion editor, and I'm going to read parts of it to you. I think it's very important to share what I wrote to him, and I'm still awaiting a reply. This being Good Friday, I suppose, to be fair, I might not see the reply that I'd like to see quite yet. Again, 800-313-9443 is the number. Your calls will be accepted at any time. But in the meantime, here I go to begin gathering and try and get answers from the local media in their so-called reporting and their failure to inform the people. What I wrote was as follows. Not everyone who crosses the border illegally is a saint or a genuine asylum seeker. The relatively open border and lack of government assertion in controlling the sheer number of people entering illegally, regardless of their background and intent, creates a situation where MS-13 and cartel scouts and their assets can easily mix in. I go on to say to Mr. Rodriguez about the Monitor, in your April 18 edition, in the same report that goes from page 1 and jumps to page 7A, you mentioned Mr. McAllenan. I hope I'm saying that right. He's the new fill-in for DHS now that the lady that led DHS has been let go. You mentioned Mr. McAllenan being in the RGV, the Rio Grande Valley, to oversee, quote, what is being characterized as a crisis, as the Monitor put it. And then the Monitor goes on to note that back in March, quote, Border Patrol agents apprehended 92,607 people along the southwest border. Let me repeat that. In March of 2019, Border Patrol agents apprehended 92,607 people along the southwest border. And that's just the ones they apprehended. And the Monitor went on to say, as I remind Mr. Rodriguez, more than 60% of those were composed of families and unaccompanied children who are arriving at the border and surrendering to agents. And yet, as I remind Mr. Rodriguez, the paper said that's being characterized as a crisis. And then I tell him, numbers like that are a crisis. Don't even attempt for even one instant to tell me otherwise, I tell him in this letter. Then I ask him, what's that other 40% or so comprised of if 60% is composed of families and unaccompanied children? Your paper, I tell him, leaves such sticky questions largely unanswered about that other 40%. And you do know, Mr. Rodriguez, don't you, that not everyone who claims to be a family is a real family, and some of these kids are interchangeable and can, and they do, claim a total stranger as a parent or other relative. And then I tell him, please drop the tripe about the border area having a low crime rate, which is misleading. I got a caller I'll get to in just a second. At the bottom level, scores of people here in South Texas are illegally driving around in motor vehicles without a driver's license, without insurance, and when they do and often get in car wrecks, it's the American citizen who's often involved in one of these wrecks and who must cover all the costs, and then the driver, without any papers, walks away scot-free. And then the more sophisticated criminal assets, I remind Mr. Rodriguez, wanting to enter the U.S., exploit the waves of people entering it by blending in, and then they go inland to ply their trade. They're not stupid enough, I tell Mr. Rodriguez, to come in right by the border with guns blazing right from the start. So you're not going to see all the crime right at the border because that would call too much attention to them. And then I reiterate the part I talked about at the beginning. Never forget there's a sizable cross-section of Rio Grande Valley Latino conservatives and others who want a defended, secure border, and they resent the stereotyped implication by the Monitor and other Valley media that all people of Mexican Latino heritage must believe in open borders or they are a non-person. Your paper, I tell him, constantly ignores, downplays, or belittles Valley conservatives. Now, at this point where I've said enough to get the groundwork laid, we have a caller, Tim from Washington. Go ahead, Tim, if you're there.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Tim. Good afternoon.
Okay, good afternoon. Yeah, it's self-evident that the Democrats and the business community, corporations, have made an alliance for this to happen. Even Trump even knows it, and basically his whole immigration base is being cracked because he's actually permitting this. There's all kinds of legislation that's already on the books where if you drive an illegal immigrant or you give one a job, you get a $10,000 fine. You know, also he could put MRAM down there. He could put even more military. There's all kinds of things that he could have done. Even the first 2 years when the Republicans had the House and the Senate, they could have easily pushed through the legislation, and they stood back and watched as the Democrats ripped off 40 seats in the House to, you know, set up the paradigm of, you know, left, right, Democrat, Republican. So this is all thought out on a high level that we are actually being replaced, and that's what people have to come to terms with, that there is a replacement model that's coming up. White people are just not having any more children. Even blacks are not even having that many children. I mean, Americans overall are just not having that many more children. We got the baby boomers all getting older. So this is thought out. However, because of Trump's base, as far as immigration, people like you, you within another year, you're going to know that Trump's basically sold you out in this. You're going to find, first off, you're going to find out that not much fence is being built. And this is all thought out, and it's just rhetoric. But when this does happen, and when the Trump's sizable immigration base does get cracked, it leaves an opening, a very key opening politically, for somebody like a Tucker Carlson to come in and replace a Mike Pence for VP. The only thing that Mike Pence brings to the ticket with Donald Trump is the evangelicals. The evangelicals are sold on Donald Trump now. He's got the Christians. He's got that block. They're not going nowhere. However, he's going to lose things like the pro-life block, the immigration block, in other words, the hardcore on all these different. That's where a Tucker Carlson can come in, ready-made off the shelf. He's got the credibility. He's got the political capital. He's got the looks, the family, the education. He's got it all. Where Trump can pick him as vice president, rejuvenate the Trump party that, in other words, Trump, you know, basically was able to mount monster vote, and then once he will win re-election, I'm convinced of it. Donald Trump will win re-election one way or the other, even if the Zionists have to steal it for him, he's going to win it. But the big play for Tucker Carlson, where his real value is once Trump gets re-elected. We are, looks like we're going to have this war with Iran. Once we do that, it's going to be that economic model is going to collapse. We're ready for it. All we need is a big war. That's where Tucker Carlson comes in, and he can basically sell the white majority of this country, saying, look, even though we've gone through a Great Depression, hang with me, stay with me, in 3 years, it'll be 2024, I'll run, I'll do what Trump didn't do. I'll be the guy that Trump said he was going to be, but he's not. And so there's actually a silver lining to Trump dropping the ball on the immigration. It does leave an opening for somebody like a Tucker Carlson to come in. Anyways, I wanted to put my two... Go ahead.
Yeah. Has Tucker Carlson made any political ambitions? Has he stated anything like that or even hinted at it? I know he's been hobbled a bit because I understand Fox News may have been bought or will be bought by Disney. Was that a rumor? I don't know. I don't know if his show is going to last much longer. I know the deep state would probably like to silence him, but regardless of the status of his TV show, has he ever made any gestures about running for office?
His gestures is life. It's his whole show. His whole show is apex political thinking and strategy. His whole mind, the way he's built, everything he does. The real question is, if Trump went to Tucker Carlson and says, look, I'm getting rid of Pence because he's really no good. You're going to repair my base with the pro-life and the immigration and a few other areas. Will you do it? The question is whether Tucker will do it or not. It's not whether he has the political capital there. Everybody does. In fact, he's the number one show. He surpassed Hannity in the last 30 days. Did you know that? He's now the number one show.
No, I did not. Let me ask you this. Is the evangelical base, I know part of the answer, I think a lot of the evangelical base also believes in border security, but Am I misperceiving that, or is it maybe the fact that while the evangelical base, that which is important for Trump, might believe generally in border security, it maybe isn't a high enough priority issue for them, and therefore you need these other blocks? Is the evangelical base by itself too lukewarm on the border to be any good in that area?
Yeah. Right, yeah. No. The evangelical base, I know all about it, because I came out of it, and I came out of it being a neocon, a Christian Zionist. It's the best I can say, it's a mind virus, and you're not able to see. You're in an orbit in which you can't break out of. And since just Trump is a true Zionist, he's all in for Israel. You've got this block of Christians, which is about a third, a solid third, maybe 40% of the Republican Party that's evangelical. Overall, for the whole electorate, it's about a block of 25%. But they're not going anywhere. No, not at all.
So if Pence was replaced, it would be a worthwhile trade to have a little less evangelical support, but then increase the other support across the other issues, is what I'm getting
That's
at.
That's what I'm saying. Trump has captured the evangelicals. He doesn't need, I mean, he's got people like Pat Robertson saying that, you know, Trump is almost like the right hand of God on earth. I mean, that's what you got. Trump has appropriated. He needed Pence to get elected the first time because he was a three-time New Yorker, three-time divorce coming out of New York. He doesn't need it anymore. He doesn't need Pence. But Tucker Carlson is a lot of value. Tucker can say things. He can do things. He's young. The biggest thing that Tucker does is he gives, when this economic collapse happens right after Trump gets elected, he's going to pick a fight with Iran. We're going to have that war. Then we're going to get the economic reset, which is also one of the things that Trump can do for the deep state, the take us into bankruptcy. What's going to happen is once we go sideways and we go into this 5-6 month reset, Great Depression, there's like 50, 60, 70 million basically white people, all patriots, vets, Christians, homeschoolers, gun owners, all heavily armed. They're going to be going nuts. This is where Tucker comes in. He can basically say, you people calm down. Even though the cities are starting to melt, the blacks are going against the Hispanics, things on the edge, don't go crazy. You know, we got the white-dominated military and law enforcement. Don't go crazy and, you know, have basically civil war. Just wait. I'm here. In 3 years, Trump's going to do his thing. Once we get past that, I can run for president 2024. We'll lock it up then, and I'll do what Trump didn't do. And so Tucker will provide hope, and he will stabilize the political superstructure as regard to the, you know, the still the white majority who are the ones who only have, you know, pretty much we got the guns overall. I mean, yeah, there's certain blacks and Hispanics,
we got about a minute before the first break, if not less. But I appreciate your call, Tim. This is what I'm looking for. I juggle so many issues writing for several outlets that sometimes I'm a master of none, but a jack of many trades. It varies, but very helpful. And I think it's the most helpful thing is that Trump does need to shore up more than just the evangelical block. He's on the risk of losing this thing. He declared an emergency. He needs to operate on that emergency and simply secure the border, period, paragraph. We'll be right back after these messages.
Talk, the simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Returning to Stop the Presses here on 19 April 2019, 4/19/19. You heard that right. Your host Mark Anderson coming back to you live. It's been pretty tricky these days. Again, I remember briefly on air my great mother-in-law Angela C. Pena, a great matriarch, gave way to almost 50 grandchildren. A sixth generation was born before she passed. Her recent passing, I now repeat and reiterate my honor to her on the air. Now, moving on, again, lots of callers are sought today, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Thanks to Tim in Washington for his helpful and insightful comments. I'm going to kind of noodle back to the letter that I had sent to the monitor. There's quite a bit more to share. It provides a lot of good talking points. There's also an American Free Press article coming up in the print edition. It'll probably go online soon that I wrote, and I'm going to allude to that here in just a moment. And anyway, going on, as I informed Carlos Rodriguez, the editorial page editor of the pro-open borders paper, The Monitor, out of McAllen, Texas, in the Rio Grande Valley sector, and I sent this letter yesterday. No reply yet that I'm aware of. I told him, indeed, the virtually open border is the key incentive for human and drug traffickers to keep their business alive and exploit the very people that the monitor, with the violins going full bore 24/7, while the monitor insists ad nauseum that we must receive and must give out humanitarian help without conditions, while always genuflecting before Sister Norma, as she's known, as if her efforts, laudable though they may be, should be nearly the sole determinant of public policy. And what that refers to, ladies and gentlemen, in this short segment before the bottom of the hour, is Sister Norma at the McAllen Catholic Church, where there's a major center near there where asylum seekers are housed and fed and clothed and helped out. And I have nothing against that per se. But the problem with the Monitor and the McAllen and Valley Area Media is that they use that to create an emotional vignette suggesting that we should help everyone without question, that we shouldn't even really discriminate as to who's really applying for asylum and who is just gaming the system, that we shouldn't really have any kind of differentiation, even though there's people coming from far more countries than we're told, not just Central America, not just El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. And in other words, help them all without question and don't have really any discriminating or analytical resources brought to bear to see where. So I go on to say to the Monitor editor, your own newspaper and TV media in the Rio Grande Valley have quoted border officials as saying that people from over 40 countries, some from overseas, are entering illegally. A few. That means that the identities, backgrounds, motives, ideologies of scores of people will be difficult to screen or will go unscreened due to the sheer number of people coming in, therefore making it harder to separate those who truly do need some help from. And it's also quite deeper and more precise facts regarding exactly what's happening. In the first place, to precipitate such an exodus and who's financing this whole. Oh, shoot. Just now?
It's been off and on for last minute.
To the audience that's hearing this talk, but the built-in mic.
What I recall in you, I can't think of.
Let's.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath, head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult.
With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
I am returning to the air, your host Mark Anderson here on Stop the Presses, coming to you live 19 April 2019. I apologize for any audio trouble there may have been for the latter part of that last segment. The perils of live radio are sometimes never ending, and Skype itself can be quite undependable and glitchy at times. due to that, and I'm hoping everything's working right for the rest of the show, I'm going to reread where it apparently began to cut out, and that's from my letter that I recently sent to the McAllen, Texas Monitor newspaper, The Monitor as it's known, which is unapologetically pro-open borders and stereotypes the entire valley, where anyone of Latino, Mexican extraction that happens to be conservative and believes in border defense is basically a non-person. They don't count. And that if you're of that heritage, you have to be open borders. And that's the unfair and inaccurate stereotype that they try to peddle all the time. And I note, and I inform the Monitor's editor, Carlos Rodriguez, that I remind him that people from over 40 countries, and a few years ago, the word was around 75 countries are coming here, not just a few Central American and miscellaneous places. So it's a far more complex issue than just migrants or asylum seekers and their families and unaccompanied children always plying the heartstrings, never giving a complete picture. And to reiterate again, due to the technical trouble that I had, I pointed out it's also quite interesting how the Monitor, the newspaper, the Monitor, is mute. The Monitor is mute about the deeper and more precise facts regarding what exactly is happening in these Central American countries in the first place to precipitate such an exodus, and who's financing the often clean and neat clothing and new shoes and backpacks that many of these asylum seekers are oddly wearing, not to mention who's financing their transportation. I go on to ask the Monitor's editor, what's the exact nature of this allegedly constant and serious oppression and persecution in Central America? Who's behind it? What can be done about it? Simply screaming persecution doesn't make it true, nor does it make it solvable, even if it is true. And I know there's some truth to it, I added. And evidently, the Monitor is okay with whatever plight might befall Central America when more and more of its own working-age people abandon their homelands and leave their brothers and sisters in the lurch. Imagine the long-term impact of these Central American nations losing their own labor forces, losing their farm workers and truckers and deliverers. As their populations decline over time, the criminal syndicates that are already there can take hold full bore and create even more full-fledged narco states. But the McAllen Monitor, the newspaper in McAllen, is dead silent on these things, ladies and gentlemen. Blank out. Nothing but blank out. And then I ask, what should be happening is for a U.S. delegation to, before anything else, go to Central America, get to the taproot of this thing, and do some serious fact-finding, and in no uncertain terms, tell, not ask, tell those nations that this exodus, especially at this level, simply cannot be allowed to continue, and that those nations are fully expected to do something about it. And I tell the McAllen editor, Carlos Rodriguez, and don't say that ending their foreign aid is wrong, because you and I know the aid we send doesn't reach the people for the most part anyway. Don't even go there. But here's a really important part, ladies and gentlemen, listening live and on the archive. For an upcoming American Free Press article, which I alluded to right before the technical problem in the last segment, it's a relatively brief article, but really important. I contacted the Center for Immigration Studies, kind of a center, slightly right of center think tank in Washington. And one of their spokesmen confirmed for me that the Hague Convention and Protocol does say that asylum seekers must seek asylum in the first country they enter, not the second, not the third, the first country they enter where there's relative safety. In other words, the most acute alleged threats they're facing are relatively abated. Any port will do in a storm, pretty much, and you're getting out of immediate danger. You go to the very first country you come to, which in this case would be Mexico, and that's where you apply for asylum. And I understand it also, and callers can correct me if I'm wrong, that they could also go to Mexico to apply for asylum in the U.S. They don't have to be let into the U.S. to apply for asylum, which gives them a foothold and creates the overwhelming of our facilities when they could be applying for U.S. asylum well before they get here. But they can also, according to this Hague Convention, as the Center for Immigration Studies told me, simply apply for asylum in Mexico. Since they're trying to escape, we're told, immediate danger in Central America, although the Monitor and really most news outlets most of the time, they simply say there's oppression, they simply say there's persecution in Central America. Where are the detailed reports? But the story coming out in American Free Press, the website AmericanFreePress.net, one of the most important parts it points out about the Hague Convention, and here's where another action can be taken besides the U.S. sending a delegation to Central America to find out what the root causes are and find out what's true and what's false. The problem is that while Mexico is a party to the Hague Convention, here's the missing gap, the U.S. lacks a bilateral agreement with Mexico, which would require Mexico to actually abide by the protocol, the Hague Convention, that Mexico did sign. This represents a dereliction of duty by both Mexico and the United States. So Donald Trump may have declared an emergency. He may have cut off some of the aid or said he's about to cut off some of the aid to these Central American countries due to them being fostering this exodus. But a very tangible thing that people could contact Congress, but particularly Trump about, is that Mexico's a party to the Hague Convention. The U.S. is a party to the Hague Convention. But the U.S. and Mexico need a bilateral agreement as part of the machinery so Mexico can abide by the protocol, meaning that people leaving Central America would pretty much have to apply for asylum in Mexico well before they reach the U.S. border. This alone would go a long way, a lot further, I believe, than emergency declarations and even more than cutting off foreign aid to actually stem the tide of 92,000 people and some change being caught illegally entering the U.S. in March of 2019 alone. And I think that's along pretty much the entire southern border. But if that's in 1 month, that would mean the better part of 1 million people a year if that were constant, almost 100,000 per month. And then I go on. So, well, before I go on, I cannot stress enough how much listeners live and on the archive need to act on that. Contact Congress, talk to people you know, contact your own newspapers. The U.S. and Mexico need a bilateral agreement under the Hague Convention for asylum. Going on, as I also wrote to Carlos Rodriguez, the editorial page editor of the McAllen Monitor newspaper, and this is a question, and it's a question for Trump too, really. What happened to the barbed wire barriers and military assets, National Guard, Army, etc., who were near or at the border in late 2018, early 2019? Why were some of them pulled out of the Rio Grande Valley? Were they reassigned? If so, where and how many? What are they doing? Where did they go? These newspapers down here, they'll report one thing and never complete their thought. Well, the troops are being pulled out of this area. We're never told if they went home. We're never told if they were reassigned. And then I go on to say, when the president, with whom I agree when he declared a border emergency that was not countered by Congress, that's when the Congress passed a bill to counter the emergency. Trump vetoed it, and Congress couldn't override his veto. When the president declared the emergency, he did obtain, I reminded the monitor, he did obtain the legal authority to secure the border, and that would mean not allowing any more asylum seekers into the U.S. until we get more immigration processing judges and get a real handle on the facility shortage and other matters. And I add, once the word got out that you cannot just waltz into the United States and claim asylum no matter who you are, no matter what happened, our soldiers would have to fully defend the border non-lethally, since their job, and then the flow of people, I believe, would finally decrease and would finally go down. The traffickers who exploit the open border would suffer a setback, and the dynamics of solving this problem of 92,000 people crossing the border illegally, and that's just the ones who get caught, the dynamics of solving the problem would kick in, and then we could go back to square one, starting with finding out what's up in Central America, getting Mexico and the U.S. to have that bilateral agreement I talked about, and then we could begin to solve the problem in a holistic, overall manner, detail by detail, item by item. More immigration judges, military on the border, the bilateral agreement, the delegation to Central America, keep that foreign aid cut off if it's really been cut off. We sit down with the Central American countries and we tell them, this stops today. Today. And the bilateral agreement, perhaps they could bring pressure to bear for the U.S. and Mexico to enter into that bilateral agreement so the Hague Convention can do what it's, you know, designed to do. And then people applying for asylum out of Central America would pretty much have to do it in Mexico. And as I understand, it can't be stressed enough, they could even apply for U.S. asylum if that's truly necessary, and do that while they're still in Mexico and not be allowed to have a foothold here while their cases are still pending. The facilities get overcrowded. They're given a bus ticket and they're expected to come back for their asylum and their other hearings, the various hearings. And some of them do, but many of them don't. And so these are the items, these are the issues, ladies and gentlemen. These are the things that aren't happening. These are the things that need to happen. And I really took this area newspaper to task. I'll let you know if they respond. But I wanted to get this out there. Again, callers are very welcome in today's show, especially, I realize it's a religious holiday. Many people might be away from their usual goings-on. But the number, while there's still a little more time today in this one-hour show, the call-in number, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. As noted, I'm gathering all the information I can for my anticipated involvement in a documentary by Snowshoe Films about the border, and we're going to be shooting some footage or gathering at least some research for that in the coming week, as I understand it. So these are some very important issues. I'm looking forward, hopefully, to getting a reply from the McAllen Monitor newspaper. A couple individual reporters that I've written to before did not respond. That's one reason I contacted one of the editors and not just a beat reporter, to see if they'll even respond at all, to see if they have any honor, any notion of objectivity and completeness in what they report. And I, of course, reject out of hand the idea that being strict about the border is being unhumanitarian. In fact, the most unhumanitarian thing you can do is have a fully or largely open border. Yes, it seems like we're being all touchy-feely and merciful in the short run, but what we're actually doing is aiding and abetting and aggravating the exodus of people out of Central America across dangerous territory into the clutches of the coyotes with two legs, the cartels, the MS-13 gangsters that blend in. We think we're being humanitarian. We want to pat ourselves on the back. Many well-meaning Christians, Catholics, and others in the valley, they think they're doing good, but the right hand's not supposed to know what the left hand is doing. The Bible admonishes you not to make publicity out of your charitable acts, but publicity is lauded upon the well-meaning churches and other people that help those that truly do need help. But it's a much more complex issue than they, I believe, are willing to admit. And the bottom line is, yes, you're helping now in some respects in the immediate sense, but you're also aggravating the problem and not actually helping the Central American countries survive. They too have a right to nationhood. They have a right to stable societies. It's not just a matter of transferring people from one place to another and just saying, come one, come all. Again, that's pseudo-humanitarianism. That's not the real thing. Nobody hates anybody. Nobody is white supremacist. Nobody is anti-Latino. Nobody is anti-immigrant. Don't even go there. Okay? Yes, the U.S. is a nation of immigrants. We hear that bromide. But as many of us know, a nation of immigrants who largely came in an orderly fashion, were inoculated or at least screened for diseases, usually had to show why they were coming here, and came in again in an orderly fashion, were pretty much contributors to society and had to demonstrate that beforehand. It wasn't just an open door flapping open in the wind. So the whole leftist, liberal, pro-immigrant, anti-nationhood philosophy, that whole notion is completely distorted. The real pro-immigrant people are the people that are skeptical of open borders. Pro-immigration means orderly immigration. See, so the whole thing is the real racists accusing others of being racist, the real unmerciful anti-immigrant people accusing others of being anti-immigrant and unmerciful. This is known as projection, where you accuse others of the very thing that you yourself are guilty of. The media, mostly the Democratic Party, some Republicans, but mostly the Democratic Party, a number of the pressure groups and activist groups, the George Soros group of companies and NGOs, they're constantly using the technique, the Marxist technique of projection, to try and label others with labels that actually apply to them. And it's what floors me is that time-worn, worn-out, seen-it-a-million-times technique still manages to work on people. And that, of course, can be added to the process of what's known as conflation, where you take seemingly related ideas that aren't really related and you falsely connect the dots and make a picture that's a false picture. One of those examples would be, because many, but not all, especially in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, but because many pro-border defense people happen to be of European extraction and therefore happen to be so-called white, that means that pro-border defense means white supremacy. See, that's conflating. That's making a connection that doesn't necessarily exist and contriving it in order to discredit those that want a defended border. So these are critical issues, and look for that American Free Press article. I'll try and post a link to that. with the information for today's show. I'll be back with some more stuff.
Such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Returning to the last segment of Stop the Presses, your host, Mark Anderson, 19 April 2019, Patriots Day. Happy that day and happy Good Friday to all listening live and on the archive. Of course, listening on the archive, talking about holidays is a little past tense, but so be it. I hope that those listening will take to heart and mind what I've talked about today. This is a very urgent interval, and I wanted to get this out there really get the thought patterns going as I prepare to hopefully and expectedly help with a documentary from Snowshoe Films about the border crisis. And also notable are some other upcoming articles that will be posted on different news outlets, another coming up in American Free Press, a couple others. And you can contact me about getting hard copy editions of American Free Press and or go to AmericanFreePress.net about this. But I did an exploratory article, at least scratching the surface, maybe a little better than that, about the media hysteria about the measles issue and how utterly one-sided, even maybe more than the border issue, if that's even possible, that the media is about the measles issue, the MMR vaccine and all that. Another issue I'll be talking about much more in the coming days and weeks is in Michigan, Dana Nessel, a new attorney general there elected in 2018, has started a basically what amounts to a thought crime task force. And the AFP story that I just got done publishing talks in detail about that. And she's still relying, this attorney general, this Democrat in the Michigan state government, on the increasingly discredited Southern Poverty Law Center to identify hate groups in Michigan, of which they claim there are 31 hate groups. And this involves a Catholic St. Michael's resistant group, a conservative Catholic group. It concerns radio outlets. It concerns what amounts to small policy outfits and other groups claimed to be quote-unquote neo-Nazi, lumps them all in the same category as being haters. And now the Michigan state government, through Attorney General Dana Nessel, is beginning this dragnet. And the reason I call it a thought crime dragnet, as the article outlines, is because they're not just looking at potential or alleged hate crimes. They're looking at hate and bias incidents that don't even rise to the level of a civil infraction, much less a misdemeanor or a felony, meaning not crimes at all, but yet they want to catalog them and police them and investigate and probe into them. So this would involve thoughts and attitudes and opinions that are deemed forbidden or quasi-forbidden by this new attorney general in Michigan. So lots to read about there. That'll come out in American Free Press any day now in the print version, along with the measles article and other matters that I've written about, including the article that I mentioned today about Mexico and the U.S. needing to enter into a bilateral agreement to enforce the Hague Convention on asylum, and therefore make it so asylum seekers out of Central America must apply in Mexico, a huge part of the solution to the problem. We'll see you next time after this weekend on Top of the Country.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.